Well, hello everyone. How are you doing? I trust that again you've had a great morning in Christ. It's been a little bit of a hectic morning for me, but Jesus can do hectic mornings too. He does those really well, just like he does slow moving days. I learned something a while back, and that is that Jesus is never hurried. There's a sense of urgency at times, but Jesus doesn't get in hurries. And I found out that I don't have time to be in a hurry. You waste time when you find yourself hurried. So not feeling hurried, but having a really busy morning, but really good to be here with you guys. And I trust that the Lord will speak a life-giving word to you. And my heart's desire is not just to be a teacher, but actually to be a spiritual father in a sense, that I'm just passing on things that I've learned. My grandfather name in Swahili is Babu. So that's what my grandkids all refer to me at, and my great nephews refer to me as Babu. And so I've kind of reached that stage in my life where I have that kind of Babu anointing, I think. A little bit of a Pooh Bear anointing. And I just am called to yak about Jesus and tell stories of things that he's done in me. Sometimes I'll have people ask me questions like, are you an Arminian or are you a Calvinist? I love those words. I think the word Arminian sounds like some character in a bar in a Star Wars movie. But what they're trying to say is, do you believe in man's free will or do you believe in God's sovereignty? And my answer to those questions is, yes, I do. You do what? Believe what? I believe that man has a free will and I believe that God is sovereign. And I know those seem like contradictions, but only the West worries about contradictions. The other parts of the world, Christianity, don't worry about contradictions to us. Everything doesn't fit because God's ways are not our ways and he's so much bigger than us that I'm comfortable with believing that my free will matters. But I'm also comfortable knowing that God is really sovereign. And I'm not afraid to say that God's in control. To say that God's in control doesn't mean that I believe he causes everything. He doesn't. He doesn't cause everything. But I do believe that he causes everything to work together for good. And that's somebody who's in control. Like if I'm in an airplane flying overseas, over the Atlantic Ocean, heading towards someplace, and one of the engines goes out or there's some issues in the plane happening with one of the engines. If the pilot comes over and says, I'm in control, don't be afraid. He's not saying he caused it. He's just saying that he's got it. And he's in charge or in control. We've sort of gotten in this weird place where we have to use perfect with the kind of words, but for many, many centuries, people have not been afraid that God's in control, but it doesn't mean that he causes everything. But he does cause everything to work together for good. Now, I say that to you because I want to share a word with you and then something that God has spoken to me that ministers really to me a lot. This is from John 15 again. I've been kind of quoting verses from there. But this is from, I'll just read a couple of verses. One, it says in verse 4, abide in me and I in you. Now to abide is to settle in, to stay in that place, to remain, to rest in, and it carries the idea of trusting in. And so he said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, I'm settled into you. He lives in us, but he's like to be able to settle in, spread out, you know, kind of rest in, trust in our responses to him, that we will be yielded to him. You know, the more that he trusts that, the more he's able to disclose himself to us so we can participate in all that he is. And so he said, abide in me and I in you. Again, in verse 5, he said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him. There you go. He says it again. Abide in me and I in you. But in verse 7, he changes it a little bit. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now, is there a difference there? Is he saying something extra? Or is it sort of a broader explanation for what it means for Jesus to abide in us? I don't think it's something extra. I don't think it's like another principle. And because Christianity is a person, not a principle. But anyway, I think he's telling us that for him to abide in us is often going to feel like is going to be his words abiding in us. Let me just share a couple of things. As you know, I won't read all the verses because of our time, but there are like three different places in this Upper Room Discourse. Jesus' last conversation with his disciples before his crucifixion, where he refers to the Holy Spirit as the helper three or four times. And then also he refers to him as the Spirit of Truth. He says in verse 26 of chapter 15, "And when he, the helper, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me." Now Jesus said he was the way, and he was the truth, and the life. And so the Holy Spirit bears witness of the truth that Jesus is in us about everything. He reveals to us the truth in us about who Jesus is, about everything. There's another place I want you to see. This is John 16, verse 7. "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Verse 13. "But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose what is to come." He's not talking about like what's like, you know, eschatology, the future events. He's talking about what we do next. What, you know, Jesus did all those things he saw the Father doing, and the Holy Spirit's, and he only said those things he heard the Father saying. Well, we're to only do those things we see Jesus doing, and we're just only say those things we hear Jesus saying. And the Spirit of Truth, who guides us into all truth, Jesus, he's our tour guide into this life in Christ, this life of union with Christ, this life of stewarding Christ's life in us, being lived out through us. He says that he will disclose you what's to come next, what's going on, what we're to do and say. And he shall glorify me, he shall take of mine, and shall disclose it to you. Now, all that is to say, part of this whole abiding relationship is now the Holy Spirit speaking in us the words of Christ so that we can participate in the life of Christ. An example would be, I've used examples again and again. I will, in the future, use more examples. But like, maybe I'm in a situation before and I felt like anxiety or fear rising up in me. And Jesus would say to me, "Chuck, I'm not afraid here. I have peace about this." And I knew that he wasn't just informing me that he had peace about it. He was inviting me. That was the Holy Spirit speaking the words of Christ in me. He was inviting me to surrender, to sink into that truth that he has peace about it. And he wants to share that with me. He wants me to participate in his peace about this situation. Even though I may not have any idea how it's all going to work out, he does. And so so that moment, for his words to settle in, to be able to spread out, to rest in, to trust in me, is me then to go, "Yes, yes, Lord, I just sink into you. Thank you that you're not afraid here. Therefore, we're not afraid. And you're at peace about this. Therefore, we're at peace about this." So you see how his words abide in us? So he spoke this word to me just recently that I thought would be really interesting to you. It would minister to you. I was telling the Lord, "Lord, I have a tendency to obsess about these things, certain things." And I was obsessing about something, which is not healthy. And the Lord said to me, he said, "Chuck, I don't obsess about anything, but I possess everything." And I knew what he was saying, and it just blew me away. Now, that's the Holy Spirit speaking the words of Christ. What is to come next? How are we supposed to face these things I'm feeling, this temptation to obsess, this circumstance that I'm obsessing about? "Chuck, I don't obsess about anything, but I possess everything." And I knew that he was saying to me, "I'm in control." Now, listen to this. This is what... I'm going to read a couple of verses. One's from Job 41. I think it's verse 11. I can find it. Well, I'm still in the Psalms. Job 41, verse 11. And God speaking to Job, who's been questioning the Lord. Who has given to me that I should repay him? Whatever is under the whole heaven is mine. That's pretty powerful. That's not just about stuff. It's about all things that are going on under heaven. It belongs to him. He possesses it. Doesn't mean he causes everything, but he possesses it. And this is what it says in Psalm 138, verse 8. I love this one. The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Powerful. But the King James Version gets this one right, because the word accomplish actually is the word perfect. And it should be written this way. The Lord will perfect what concerns me. Do you understand? Now, I know that God's sovereignty is a mystery. God's free will is a mystery. I mean, our man's free will is a mystery. God's sovereignty is a mystery, but it's a mystery I celebrate. That the Lord will perfect what concerns me. And so when I told the Lord this morning, Lord, I'm obsessing over this thing. And the Lord said, I don't obsess over anything. But I possess everything. And I will accomplish, I will perfect what concerns you. Now, that's true about every situation or any situation. And so for those of you who have obsessive thoughts, which always generates fear. Anytime, again, you get into obsessive thoughts and you start asking questions, as I've said to you before, anytime I start asking questions, I always stumble into a conversation with the devil and it doesn't turn out well. I stumble into a conversation with him, not even realizing it. And he's come to kill, steal, and to destroy. Steal our peace, steal our joy, all those things. But you see, Jesus is the truth about everything. He didn't cause it, but he's the ultimate truth. He can cause everything to work together for good. Don't run from Romans 8:28. It's a powerful verse. Does it negate man's free will? Don't try to figure it all out. Don't try to get all the answers. Just celebrate in the truth. Yes, we have a free will, and yes, God is sovereign. Yes, he is in control. I'm not an Arminian or a Calvinist. I'm just a Christian. I'm just in Christ. And I'm grateful to know that though he doesn't obsess over anything, he does possess everything, and he will perfect what concerns you. That, and so for me to hear that, now if I just ignored it, if he said it and I just continued to worry or obsess over, then his words are there, but they're not abiding in me. Therefore, they can't have its effect. But when he speaks things like that in me, to me, and I in that moment sink into that and go, yes, Lord, thank you. I'm settling into him. I'm settling into those words he's just spoken, the truth about who he is in that situation. And those words now settle into me, spread out in me, take over in me, and bear the fruit of the life of Christ being manifested in me and through me. Okay? So I hope that helps some of you fellow obsessors, that you can walk in some fresh freedom. And really look forward to spending time with you again in the Word, talking about the wonder of being in Christ and being a new creature, a new kind of being, because we're in union with him. God bless. Have a great rest of the afternoon, abiding in him.